Hey guys, welcome to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and on today's podcast, we have Christine Hansen, who is a holistic international sleep expert, speaker, and sleep coach. So we are talking sleep. I'm so excited to have her. She is the creator of the 5-step Sleep Like a Boss process, focusing on sleep foundations, gut health, thyroid issues, nutrition, and hormones that help people to fall and stay asleep without having to rely on sleeping pills. Now, I'm really excited to have Christine joining us because, for that particular reason, because it's a holistic approach, right? She's also a certified functional diagnostics nutrition practitioner, Spencer Institute certified sleep science coach, and nutritional therapist. Christine combines emotional, lifestyle, and biochemical stress management in programs for her clients. Her expertise have been featured in numerous international publications such as The Independent, The Guardian, Business Insider, Reader's Digest, Huffington Post, Elite Daily, Entrepreneur on Fire, and many more. She is a mother, number one's Amazon best-selling author for her book, Sleep Like a Boss, The Guide to Sleep for Busy Bosses, an award-winning entrepreneur of the Coupe de Coeur Award of the Creative Young Entrepreneurs Luxembourg Awards. Christine is based in Luxembourg and fluent in English, German, French, and Luxembourgish. All right. Thank you so much, Christine, for joining us. Everybody, enjoy.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
Welcome everyone to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and in today's podcast, I actually have the pleasure of interviewing the lovely Christine Hansen of Sleep Like a Boss. Hi, Christine. How are you?
Hi, Amanda. I'm very well.
Oh, thank you so much for joining me today. You know, guys, this topic to me is really, really important because what I love about Christine, what I love about your process and what I love about what it is that you do is that you are out there in this world teaching people about the importance of sleep, how to get restful sleep, but to do it without the use of pills and other quick fixes, right? Like you kind of dive into it from a very different perspective. And that's what I'm so pumped to talk to you about today because I think that it's a perspective that not a lot of people think affects their life or affects their sleep or things like that. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also that a lot of people just don't know, you know, there's right. Nobody who really talks about it that way. So very often they find themselves confused, frustrated, really isolated. And so it's really my mission to transform those people, you know, to really not just transform their sleep, but everything.
Mm-hmm. So why don't you tell me, like, let's start off just diving right in and saying, like, why should people be interested in getting a good night's sleep? Besides the obvious of just feeling restful and, like, you know, waking up and actually feeling good. Because, like, I know for me, when I don't have a good night's sleep, and as you know, like, being a mom and, like, a mom of a toddler right now, it's like restful sleep is not always in the cards. And it's so important to me, though, for so many different reasons, but mostly for, like, productivity and mindfulness. But what are the other reasons people should really be interested in, you know, paying attention to these things and actually striving for good nights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sleep is unfortunately one of the things that goes out of the window the quickest. So people are very good about their diets, often exercising, but sleep is then the thing that is sacrificed. And It is the third pillar of health. So you cannot be ultimately healthy and get the goals that you want if you don't consider and respect your sleep. And the reason is that it is literally affecting everything in your life. And I mean, everything, whether it is the way you are, you know, your mood is, to your health, because sleep is rejuvenating and restoring and repairing your complete body while you are sleeping. And it's very easy. It's because your body can't do everything at the same time. So it can't do certain processes when it is conscious. So when you are awake, So you can compare it to you're hosting a party. You can either have a good time, entertain guests, or you can run around and clean up. And it's the same with our body. So nighttime is when the cleaning system comes and when they patch everything up, when they do the roadworks, basically, you know, and bring everything back into balance. So it's absolutely crucial, because if you don't do that regularly, the wear and tear is just going to get a lot worse. You're going to have things that are imbalanced that suddenly can't get into their balance back just in a night because it's been going on for so long. Mm-hmm. Anything that you are having a tendency towards. So having, for example, a tendency to be more anxious or a tendency towards being maybe a little bit depressed or blue, that is going to be emphasized by a lack of sleep. So it is affecting your relationships. It's affecting your brain power. It's affecting your health in general, your lifespan. Mm-hmm. It's just a crucial, crucial point.
Right. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but sleep also has a huge effect on like weight gain as well. Is that correct? Like, and, totally. And our podcast, yes. Just so you know, like, I mean, and all of our listeners, you know, you guys know, like, we don't focus on like weight loss and weight gain and things like that often, but I do know that a lot of people are really interested in how that affects it. So how is that correlation between weight gain and lack of sleep?
So there's different reasons why it is affecting your weight gain. So the number one reason would be that it is messing up your hormones. So you need your hormones to be calibrated. You need your metabolism to be working well in terms to burn the calories, to detoxify and all of that jazz in order to really get rid of anything that the body doesn't need instead of storing it. Mm-hmm. So that is where sleep is absolutely crucial because it's doing that when you are sleeping.
Right.
The other thing is that it's going to affect your hunger, and that's the more juicy kind of point. So we have two hormones, leptin and ghrelin, which are responsible for our sensation of being hungry and also our sensation of feeling full. Now, what is happening that research has shown is that when you don't get enough sleep, both become decalibrated, which means that you will feel hungry more quickly, but you will feel full more or a little bit later. So that way you will eat more because you will eat before you actually need to, but you will also eat more because the sensation of actually knowing that you had enough is kicking in a lot later. Mm-hmm. So that's the other reason why. On top of that, not getting enough sleep is going to mess with your blood sugar levels. It's much harder for the body to control them. So a blood sugar crash is going to be much more likely. And as a reaction to that, we have a tendency to eat because our body needs insulin, it needs some sugar. So that's why we very often reach towards something sugary and unhealthy in order to counteract that. So those are the main reasons why sleep and weight loss are absolutely crucial.
I knew about the correlation between like, I always thought of it as like, whenever I'm really tired, I crave a lot of carbs, right? Like I just want to eat carbs because it's like insta fuel, because it's obviously because my body needs energy and things like that. And I knew about that, but I didn't really know about the way other hormones get affected as well. So that's fascinating. Now, in your practice, you do focus on, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about what you focus on, because as I mentioned quickly in your intro, is that you do focus on it from a holistic standpoint as opposed mm-hmm. to just implementing sort of a quick fix or pills mm-hmm. or a simple strategy.
Exactly. So I really have like a 360 kind of point of view when I see the person. And it starts with that. I really look at the person. I create space. I take my time. And I have five pillars that I work on and that I found are absolutely crucial if you want to get your sleep to be better. And number one is the typical one, which is sleep foundations, which would be sleep routines, sleep hygiene, blue light, bedroom environment, all that kind of stuff. And usually when you look at sleep experts, that's where it stops. You know, either they are sleep scientists where they will just look at sleep disorders, or they will just look at sleep hygiene. And unfortunately, that's not enough. There's so much more that's going on. Mm-hmm. So another pillar that I look at is the thyroid. 90% of my clients have thyroid issues, very closely connected to sleep. Mm-hmm. I look at gut health because if you have leaky gut or parasites or bacteria, those are nocturnal. They're going to wake you up because they create inflammation, and an anti-inflammatory is cortisol, which is our energy hormone or stress hormone. Mm-hmm. So that's going to either wake you up or it's going to make it more difficult for you to fall back asleep. Then I'm looking at hormones because a lot of people are very sensitive to hormone imbalances. So I really look at how many you have and what they are doing inside of your body. How are they metabolized? Are they flushed out or do they circle in your body over and over again, creating havoc? And I, of course, look at nutrition as well. So we will look at food sensitivities. We will look at blood sugar balance, seeing how we can just optimize our diet without, you know, counting carbs or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And when we do all of that piece by piece, taking our time together with stress management, so getting techniques on how to diffuse stress during the day. So a good night's sleep really starts in the morning. How we can kind of park our stresses and triggers throughout the day so that you don't have the traffic jam at nighttime, you know, trying to wake you up. That combination is just magical.
Very cool. And so, I mean, you touched on this slightly, but would you mind telling us a little bit more about like what things, because you just said like, you know, that a good night's sleep begins in the morning. And so What do you mean exactly by that? And like, what kind of things during the day can you be doing that will be actually affecting your sleep? Because I know that like the hormones and, you know, your gut health and all that stuff is like diving a little bit deeper, but is there any habits that people are doing during the daytime that are really affecting their sleep patterns at night?
Yeah, I think it's like when I work with people, it needs to like, I really want to make clear, most of the time they come to me because they want to sleep, but they can't. Right. So their relationship with sleep is very strained. It's if it were a couple, they'd be having a crisis. Let's put it that way.
Right.
So it is really about working on that relationship. And small things that I like to do is actually making your bed. I know for some people that's normal, but for some it's not. But it's just creating this beautiful, welcoming, hey, hello, you're back, fresh, clean feeling. So that would be what I'd
start.
That's
so true.
It's really something simple. It would also be having a healthy breakfast is super important. Having low glycemic foods in the morning. So having enough protein, not a sugar spike. So really something that's slowly releasing your sugar into your bloodstream, but being nice and satiating in order to keep your blood sugar curve well balanced during the day. And then you would have to kind of get to know yourself and get to know what kind of thoughts are triggering you at night. And as soon as they arrive, you know, they trigger us because we don't want to talk about them. We don't want to think about them during the day. But I really invite my peeps to kind of identify them and maybe not address them immediately, but give it an hour or so. And then just take a second and just acknowledge them. And then ask yourself, was this actually warranted to be worried about? Is this something that is legitimate? Maybe if it was a comment, was that actually meant towards me or was this person having a bad day? Maybe when we're stressing out about being a perfectionist, is this actually me or is that the voice of my mother talking to me? Would I be talking to someone else that way, the way that I'm talking to myself? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? If the answer is no, then it's not valid. I can move on. So doing those kinds of exercises, or it could just be a breathing exercise, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. It could be keeping a journal. All of those kinds of different techniques, depending on what sings to you, will really help to diffuse that stress throughout the day so that you don't have the bottleneck situation at nighttime.
Mm-hmm. And I know that a lot of people I know personally, they deal with that like racing mind syndrome at night. I guess what you're saying is like kind of like that bottleneck, because I guess it's just stuff that they're kind of like not dealing with. But is there any other techniques specifically for that or for like insomnia that you kind of suggest to people? Because I know that's like a huge problem for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
And they do turn to pills in most cases that I personally know. And I just, if there's anything we can do to try to help people kind of diffuse that would be great.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, some people are fine with pills and then they, you know, they can take them. But I'm always saying, you know, that we are born knowing how to sleep. You know, nature is doing everything it can in order for mammals to sleep. We are actually the only mammal in the world that is consciously sleep depriving themselves. So, which is ridiculous, but
it's an interesting fact though.
Exactly. So I always say it's not because you don't have enough sleeping pills in your bloodstream that you're in a stream not sleeping. So it's not the answer, but for some people it's fine. They can do whatever they want to, but for those who don't want to rely on sleeping pills and have the monkey mind, diffusing stress during the day is a big one. And the second thing is really look at sleep like a person. You can sleep is not like an on and off switch. It needs a little bit of preparation. And for some people, their sleep is just really easygoing and it's just going to settle down in whatever situation they are in. For other people, their sleep is a little bit more high maintenance. So it needs a little bit more of the rituals in order to feel welcomed. Mm-hmm. And if you're already stressed, it's not going to feel welcome. It's going to be a lot more difficult. And when I meet those people, you know, their relationship is really strained. And it's about when sleep isn't there, when you lie down and you feel the circus coming into your head, mm-hmm. it's just, and you know, most of the time people know there's no way I'm going to fall asleep now, or there's no way I'm going to fall back asleep now. Then don't even try, because if you're lying down still trying to fall back asleep, you're going to get anxious, you're going to get angry, you're going to get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And none of these situations, none of these feelings are helpful. So I always tell them to get up and do something that they like doing. And that could be crossword puzzles, it could be cleaning, it could be folding laundry, it could be a vision board, which I really like. Mm-hmm. I do that with a lot of clients. So I ask them to buy magazines of topics that they like and just create a vision board whenever they are awake. So cut out pieces and stick them on that vision board. And it's just leaving them on a positive note. And when sleep is back, they're going to feel it. They're going to start yawning. They're going to start to feel naturally tired. That's when you can have a second try. So those are a couple of things that I really recommend. Or reading a book, something that's kind of interesting, maybe not the most interesting thing in the world, can be a little bit boring. Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of strategies, but don't stay there. Don't put too much pressure on yourself and on sleep either, mm-hmm. you know, so because none of these will help.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, I've seen in myself even when, you know, when you're laying in bed and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired, but I just can't fall asleep. And then you start getting stuck in that thought of like, I'm never going to fall asleep. And then you're like looking at the clock and you're like, if I fall asleep now, I'll get 6 to 5 hours. And then you start like breaking it down into like this thing. And it becomes such an obsessive sort of thought and you become so stressed about it. And I've had that anger feeling and everything else where you're just like, oh my gosh. And like, mm-hmm. why can't I sleep? I need to sleep. And then you start getting so anxious that you get worked up and then it just, you're absolutely right. It just never happens in those moments. So you really have to just learn to like sort of calm down, relax into it. And I know for me, my biggest thing is I find I get like, my husband is someone who like, as soon as he hits the pillow, he's asleep. Like he's literally snoring within like 1 minute. And I don't have problems sleeping, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm always so envious and like,
I know.
So I get so jealous / like angry kind of, cause I'm like, I'm sleeping. Why can't I sleep? So I have to always go to.
Absolutely. And I find, you know, when that happens, just remember that even if you're exhausted, you will still be able to function. You won't be functioning to your top potential, but you will be okay. So even if you have a really bad night's sleep, you've had that before and you managed to trooper through. So don't put the weight of the world on the shoulders of that one night. It's going to be fine. You will survive. Right. The other thing is, it's very similar to your situation. My husband falls asleep a lot quicker than I do. Like I need 20 or 15 minutes, not a long time, but he starts snoring during his first sleep cycle. Mm-hmm. So I always have to fall asleep with listening to something. So I always listen to podcasts or to audiobooks, and it takes me like a year to finish one because I only listen to 3 minutes and I fall asleep. But that's something that I do, for example, in order to just not get angry at his snoring. just
not just be laying there in envy staring at him.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say like to, and I'm asking this really like because I'm personally curious to like being a new mom, and I mean, she's a toddler now, she's sleeping a lot better, which is great. But for anyone who's listening right now, and they're like maybe a new mom, or, you know, they have a younger child that's maybe not sleeping, and they're feeling really stressed because like they're completely sleep deprived, and or their sleep patterns are all over the place. Like, what do you suggest to them in order to just try to feel a little bit better about this? Because it can be really overwhelming, that feeling of just like, mm-hmm. am I ever going to sleep again?
You will. I think that's number one.
Yeah.
You will sleep again. It's a very tricky one. I mean, I started with baby sleep consulting and I stopped.
Yeah.
Because it's tough. I mean, it's a super personal thing. And my number one advice would be you have to do what is right for you. So whether you have people telling you, you need to be firm and your insides are screaming, no, I don't want to, or right. whether you are told you have to co-sleep or you have to go with the flow and your insides are screaming, no, I actually want some structures and I want to put an end to this. There's no right or wrong here. It's mm-hmm. everything works. It's really up to you and what your integrity tells you is right in order to do. If you decide that you can do it a little bit longer, you will be able to do it longer, you know. Mm-hmm. So don't get pressurized into anything. But if you do feel that you are close to cracking and that your parenting is severely affected by this, that your health is severely affected by this and your relationship, then do get some help. Really mm-hmm. do. Find someone who resonates with you. You can take it step by step, starting with sleep hygiene for kids. And then if you need to do more like a sleep training program, then do that if you want to. Super important to me. So the option is always there. There's so many baby sleep consultants out there. But I do think that you have to be in integrity with yourself in order to take that decision.
Mm-hmm. And then I heard from someone, and they're not a totally reputable source, aka my husband. He told me this. So I don't know if it's fact or fiction. So I'm asking you because I'm curious. Now, he told me once before that if you miss out on sleep, because I was talking, like, obviously during, you know, the newborn phase and stuff, I was like, well, like, my sleep is like crazy. It's all over the place. I was lucky. My daughter, she sleeps kind of like a teenager. Like, she likes to sleep for 12 hours. So I'm very fortunate. Anyone listening, don't be mad at me. But he told me before that if, say, you miss out, say one night you got 4 hours of sleep. So you should normally get 8 hours sleep, for example. If you've missed that 4 hours of sleep and then the next night you try to sleep like 12 hours, it doesn't actually make up for it. He says that it like somehow it's like only like an hour, even if you oversleep by an extra 3 hours to try to catch up, it only allows you to catch up 1 hour each time. Again, not reputable. That's why I'm asking. How does it kind of work?
It's a tricky one. It is true and it isn't. So here's the thing. When you wake up in the morning and you had a great night's sleep, you can imagine that you have an empty backpack. And as you go through the day, the backpack is basically filling up with bricks. And then at nighttime, the job that sleep has is basically to take those bricks out. So if you don't sleep enough, you will wake up with a couple of bricks still in there because sleep wasn't able to finish its job. And that's what we call sleep debt.
Right.
Now, when you don't get enough sleep, there's things that sleep can't finish, like hormone imbalancing, or if you have a little fissure or something that needs to be repaired that might not have been done, then those things are going to stay. So when you catch up on sleep debt, which you can do, so you can get your backpack empty again, actually you can do that very quickly, then your hormones will rebalance and everything will go back into its place, but any damage that has happened is going to stay, right? So sleep is going to repair it, try to repair it again, but it will only be able to repair it to some extent. It won't be able to completely do it as if it had it done in the first place. So that's why it's true and it's not true. You can easily catch up on sleep debt. And there was a radio DJ in the 80s, I believe, who tried to get into the Guinness Book of Records and sleep deprived himself for like numerous days. And he was paranoid, had all kinds of symptoms, huge hallucinations, severely, like a lot of different symptoms.
Yeah.
It only took him, I think, 24 hours of sleep and everything was back to normal. So, but the damage is still there, you know? So it kind of recalibrates, but anything that has been severely damaged during the time is going to stay that way. So that's why it's a yes and no.
Got it. Okay, good. Well, thank you for clarifying for me. I appreciate it personally because I never knew if he was like on top of it or not. So, now, I know that you do have to go. So we are going to wrap this up, but I'd love to know just for our listeners out there, two quick things, if you could share with us. Number one, any other tips that you might have to getting a restful sleep, any like just concrete things that somebody could do today just to start getting a really good restful sleep. And then when you would recommend to somebody they should see an expert, because I think that's a really important step that people need to understand, that that's kind of like, if there's some sort of a, you know, sign that that's like, this is time that you maybe want to see somebody.
Yeah, I think there's two categories, you know, there's those who consciously sacrifice sleep in a way. Mm-hmm. We just have too many hours in the day, not enough hours in the day, where I think it's really get more help with someone who can help you organize, versus those who really try, who have great nutrition, who have a great sleep routine, and who just hear that everything's okay by everyone, but still can't sleep. That's my people. Those are the ones that I love to help. For the others, try to have an alarm and set it an hour before you want to go to sleep, so that you know, I still have an hour, which is going to help me to get enough done. But it's not stressful. It's not like those last 5 minutes where you need to get everything done, but you have to go to bed because otherwise you won't get your 8 hours of sleep. So that's a whole other topic, by the way. But I find that having that timer and knowing, okay, I still have an hour, which is leaving me more than enough time to finish my stuff or get it prepared to pick it up the next day, is really something that is relaxing me, and it gives me enough time to prepare to go to bed.
Great. No, that's a great idea for sure. Okay, perfect. Well, Christine, thank you so much for sharing this information with all of our listeners. I truly appreciate your time. I really appreciate all these tips in helping everyone learn how to sleep like a boss. And why don't you just share with everyone how, if they want to learn more about you, or if they want to get in touch with you to, you know, learn about your program and your process, how do you do that? Where can they find you?
Sure. So the easiest thing is to go to my website, which is sleeplikeaboss.com. And there you can reach me through the contact form, or you can always just send me an email to my personal email address. And that's christine@sleeplikeaboss.com. And that's where you'll get to talk to me straight away. So I always invite people who are like, okay, this is exactly what I need. Just shoot me a personal email and tell me that you heard me on the podcast here, and we'll get talking.
Perfect. Thank you again so much. And of course, everyone listening, thank you for listening. And if you want to check out any more information about us as well, check us out at fitchicksacademy.com, where we have our upcoming certifications for our fitness and nutrition effort, as well as our holistic nutrition weight loss coach. All right. Thank you again. And thank I will you. Talk with you soon. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.